You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
November the 30th, 2022, and we are live streaming as I speak on Rumble.com. You can go to Rumble, enter in one word, Larry Connors, USA. That'll take you to our Rumble page. You push live, you join us in studio. If you can't do it now, you can always pull it up later. And every program we have either goes up on Rumble, does go up on Rumble, as well as Larry Connors, USA. .com for a podcast, or anywhere you get your podcast, simply branded, easy to find, Larry Connors, USA. Well, as we were hearing on the network report, and we reported to you earlier, the House did pass the bill to avert a railway strike, taking the first major step to avoid it, but the chamber passing the resolution 290-137, now going to the Senate. That gives them 1 week for consideration before the scheduled December 9 strike deadline. And we have many already saying, we're not going to have enough time to read the damn thing again. Senator Marco Rubio blasting Biden for calling on Congress to impose a contract between the rail unions and rail companies. And that's what apparently is going to be happening. They won't have time to read it and really consider it and look at it. They're just going to have to take our word for it. It's going to be good for the country. You take the word of this president? I'll withhold my next remark. How about that? I will point this out to you. We have on the U.S. Supreme Court, and here's a perfect example of where we'll be going if we're not careful. We already have open borders, and this administration won't do anything to stop it. In fact, they're talking about taking air marshals off airline flights and sending them to the border. And the U.S. Air Marshals Union says you're risking another 9/11. See, there are marshals on a lot of flights. You don't know which one, who they are, but they're there in case they're needed. And they say you start taking them off, you're going to have another 9/11. In the meantime, Texas police find 50 migrants, again, locked in a shipping container near the border. They found them just in time before they died of suffocation and heat and no water. Then migrants are using night vision tech, trying to avoid Texas police near the border. They're getting that from somewhere to help them get across the border. I keep asking you, how many of these coming across are just coming here because they want to live in a better country or coming here to cause you and your family, our nation, harm? Well, now the U.S. Supreme Court Justices Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and the newest, Ketanji Brown Jackson, they're no longer reusing the term foreign. They're using the legal term alien to describe illegals during oral arguments, even as President Joe Biden's administration said you should use the term non-citizen. Whatever you call them, they're here illegally. Not against immigration. I'm against illegal immigration. 12 Senate Republicans joining to approve the so-called Respect for Marriage bill. Three of them, Blunt, Portman, and Burr, were not seeking re-election, so this is their last big vote on the way out. And most on the right, conservatives, and even some in the middle, and even some on the left say this is not protecting marriage, it's destroying it. House Democrats electing Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York, as our minority leader. We expected that to happen, but I would remind you he is an election denier. Oh, he is, yes, he's a Democrat. But he has said repeatedly that Trump was not truly elected. He said that. Pelosi said that. Hillary said that. They're all election deniers. But if you're conservative or independent, you can't say that. Iranians taking to the streets. They're celebrating. What happened at the World Cup? Oh, wait, Larry, didn't the Iranians got beat, didn't they? Yes, they did. The U.S. beat them. 1-0. Hard-fought game. But if you recall, the Iranians have been in the streets lately rioting, protesting their oppressive government, cracking down on citizens, fighting for women's rights. Remember a young woman, because she wasn't wearing her hijab correctly, they took her into custody and she accidentally died. So they're out there supporting the U.S. win. And a former CIA officer says every Iranian soccer player could face punishment because they lost.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
We're not going to put our words into their mouths. I mean, they are speaking for themselves. They are out in the streets. They are braving the elements to make clear what their views are. So they are speaking for themselves, and we stand up for the right of every citizen around the world to be able to speak up freely and peacefully for what they believe in. That's what I was talking about. It's not about us inserting our language or our rhetoric into what they want to talk about.
They do know how to dance around, do they not? That is National Strategic Coordinator with the White House, John Kirby, retired Rear Admiral, on Fox and Friends this morning and talking about that. You know, we are supporting the protesters in China, the ones that have been out in the streets and holding up just white sheets of paper, nothing on it, just a white sheet of paper. That's their sign of saying free speech is forbidden here, and they're not allowed to do that. They're being rounded up. They're being harassed. They're being jailed. They're being brutalized. Some disappear. We will never see some of them again. And that includes some of the journalists who have been reporting. So here is John Kirby continuing to defend the White House position. We're on the side of peaceable demonstration, but we're just not going to say exactly what they're saying that we agree with, but we're on their side of peaceful demonstrations, which it has been for the most part. Part of it is, and let this be a reminder to those of you who don't think the Second Amendment is a big deal, no one in China has a gun unless you're part of the military. No one has a gun unless you're part of the military. But when you hear John Kirby just rattle off how we're all in support of them, we got their back, Yeah, right. You got a kick in their butt is what you got. And that was brought to the forefront when Brian Kilmeade decided to jump in on Kirby on that issue.
The Chinese Foreign Ministry spokesperson put this out there. The price of freedom in the U.S., 1 million COVID deaths, 40,000 gun deaths per year, and more than 100,000 fentanyl deaths in 2021 alone. By the way, they're responsible for that. The American people deserve something far better than that. What we want is to protect our people's lives and ensure them a better life. So, Admiral, by you stepping back and having a weak response, that's the thanks you get. In your face, their propaganda.
I don't think, first of all, Brian, I would disagree that we're taking a step back or we got a weak response. We've been very clear and consistent and very publicly so. Number two, I don't think we're going to take lessons or advice about freedom from the PRC. That we have been working very, very hard here in the United States to move past this pandemic, you know, getting people vaccinated, making it obvious and clear about what the information that you need to get well out there is, and putting therapeutics out there, and of course making sure that we're staying ahead of each and every variant. We've been very, very aggressive about that, and we don't believe here in the United States that lockdowns are the answer. What's the answer is more vaccines, getting people more informed, getting them ready to deal with this as these new variants evolve and change. Right.
Didn't he just say we don't believe lockdowns are the answer? You did, and you still do. Don't sit there and say you don't believe lockdowns are the answer. They're already talking about it. If the kids going to school in California, at least in some districts, if they are not given this latest drug that's been approved for children down to age five, if it's not as part of their immunization record, they will not be allowed in school, so they will be locked down. And they are still, at this time, of course, threatening various people in various businesses and are the military, that if you are not getting the drugs we tell you you should, you're not taking the shots and the boosters, then we will also lock you down. I got a story right here in front of me that shows that, let me find this one. It was a series of military officers in rank and file basically were upset because they're being told you will, here it is, they're going to be ordered by Joe Biden that you must take the military vaccine mandate, and 21 Republican governors led by Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee sent a letter to the leaders of Congress just today objecting to that mandate. That's the same as a lockdown, in my opinion. You might have a different opinion, but I'm telling you, if you're ordering people to get the booster or the shot and they don't want it, or maybe they fear it, or they have religious reasons, whatever, you might as well lock them down. You're doing the same thing. But that was Kilmeade questioning Kirby about that issue. I thought he did a very good job. And there was another issue that came up. Bob, before I do that, I need to give you the response from China. They finally started acknowledging, at least in the Global Times, which is the state-run propaganda, kind of like our CNN and things like that, under the state-controlled media we have in this country, appearing to finally address that there are some protests underway. Yeah, it's kind of like we might have a dumpster fire. You got more than a dumpster fire. But they have now finally acknowledged, after crowds of hundreds and thousands of protesters showing up in Beijing, Shanghai, several others, protesting the zero COVID policy and refusing to be locked down and so forth, while the government has been ignoring all of these and just saying they're small, they don't amount to much, and you won't see them around much longer, that part I believe. You won't see them around much longer. But the state-run propaganda outlet decided to say, we are going to respond to, quote, criminal acts disturbing social order. In other words, now they're admitting there must be some protests that are, they're going to label criminal acts disturbing social order. How does that fit with John Kirby of the White House attitude that the president is, we're all about First Amendment. We're all about their freedom to speak, much less to say what they're doing about those who are enslaved in China, Uyghur Muslims or others. So the political commission had been put together, according to the Global Times, and demanded that communists maintain overall social stability. As I mentioned in the beginning hour, it means shut up. Foreign ministry spokesman was asked, are you going to end the zero COVID policy? Crickets, crickets. And then he said, just like a U.S. politician, can you repeat the question? He knew what the question was. You're buying time for it. But then Brian Kilmeade also got into John Kirby about how we handled Afghanistan, the debacle, and the fact that some say that was basically propaganda for use by the Chinese and the Russians.
The way you withdrew is the issue, Admiral. The way we, our military moved in and out is a separate issue. Your Defense Department claimed as part of its annual report to Congress on national security developments, they suggest that China capitalized on the withdrawal to convince world leaders the U.S. is not a reliable ally. It's not Brian Kilmeade talking. It's your Defense Department. The PRC employed multiple diplomatic tools in an attempt to erode U.S. and partner influence, and it highlights the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. The death of 13 and though how many people we got out, that's one issue. But the way we did it, the way we promised that government would stand up, the way we were going to leave in and have a transition, the disaster that took place is one of the many problems, along with the soldiers that are suffering now by the way you ended that 20-year war, not you, but the administration, is that China is using it, and you could argue that Russia invaded Ukraine because of it.
Yeah, you could. I would anyway. And this story just crossing I think it crossed earlier. I'm just not catching up to some because I'm trying to keep you abreast on top of everything as it's happening, but things do change rapidly. And you heard Kilmeade saying your own Pentagon, your Defense Department, said that it could be used as a propaganda tool by China and Russia, saying, look at how they dealt with Afghanistan. We don't have any reason to fear this U.S. of A., not under this administration. So National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, that you heard being interviewed there, dismissing that defense report that found the Chinese Communist Party using our disastrous military withdrawal, painting us as an unreliable international partner, a nation in decline. Exactly. So you heard the what he said to Brian Kilmeade on that, how he tried to respond. And, of course, we had 13 service members die in a suicide bombing because we had abandoned Bagram Air Force Base, which was outside the town and highly fortified until we left it. So anyone wanting to get out had to go in to Kabul and try to get on board a plane at the international airport to get out. And you remember those pictures of folks clinging to the outside of jets going down the taxiway and then lifting off, and then people falling to their death because they couldn't hold on. But they were that anxious to get out of that country. And we had promised many of those that if you help us while we're here, we will make sure you and your family are safely taken to the U.S. when we leave. And we didn't. And remember, Biden was asked, is this going to be like another Saigon withdrawal, the helicopters landing on the roof, getting everybody out? No, it won't be like that. Yes, it was, except they were jet planes instead of helicopters. And then, of course, the news coming out of China is hard to get anyway, correct? We hear and see some images of the protest. We know that they're going on. We're getting acknowledgments from others. In fact, I've got one story here that I want to share with you. This is in Taiwan and Hong Kong. They were showing support for the Chinese protesting the anti-lockdown protest. In Taipei, they held a candlelight vigil. And again, these are former residents of China, displaced from Hong Kong. One Chinese pro-democracy activist said, freedom is not a thing to be given, but it will come after everyone fights for it. True words. Very true words. Sounds like an American patriot, doesn't it? But it's a fact. Tucker Carlson on his program last night talked about something that happened to put down these peaceful protests, which the Biden administration says we're all about a peaceful protest, but not condemning the Chinese government. And neither is our state-controlled media, as pointed out by Tucker Carlson last night.
Unless you read the Daily Mail, which is an English paper published online, you probably didn't know that Chinese President Xi Jinping sent tanks into a major city last night in order to put down protests against his rule. Virtually no American media outlets even acknowledged that that happened. And that's pretty weird if you think about it. Could it be that the American news media is covering for the government of China? You can't say. We'll let you make the call on that. We can say, we know for a fact, that Apple is covering for the government of China. Apple is the most valuable company in the world. It's got a current market cap of trillions of dollars. Financial listings describe Apple as an American company. You can see why they do. Apple is headquartered in the United States. It was founded by Americans. To this day, it's run by an American citizen. But those facts don't tell the story. In fact, at this point, Apple is in no sense American. Apple's loyalty is to the government of China.
That's pretty strong language. And he backs it up. And when we continue after this break coming up, you're going to hear more from Tucker Carlson on that. And then you're going to hear how the Apple CEO sucks up to China. Yeah, if they're not actually actively engaged in being a member of the Chinese Communist Party, they're certainly doing their bidding and they're helping facilitate, enable, sell out. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Apple's loyalty is to the government of China. And if you think that's an overstatement, consider this. Earlier this month, Apple did the bidding of the Chinese government to crush domestic protests against the Communist Party there. Apple did this by disabling its permanent airdrop feature in China. And so far, only in China. It's the only country in which it's disabled. So why did Apple disable that feature in China? Well, because that feature, permanent airdrop, allows iPhone users to communicate directly with one another without using the internet or cellular networks, both of which, in a totalitarian state like China, are controlled by the government. And that means that without permanent airdrop, it's effectively impossible for freedom-minded citizens to organize with one another. They're powerless. Apple, of course, knows this. And that's why, when iPhone users in China began using permanent airdrop to complain about the Communist Party, Apple just shut it down. In other words, and again, this is not an overstatement, Apple is now an active collaborator with China's murderous police state. When tanks roll into a Chinese city, Apple is rooting for the tanks.
Well, that's a pretty bold statement, but Tucker Carlson is correct that Apple shut down that app. Now, and it took it, by the way, it took Twitter even from its app store. Governor DeSantis of Florida reacted to the possibility, they haven't done it, reacted to the possibility they might remove Twitter from the app store because of that airdrop feature. And he said, if we did a big tech censorship bill 2 years ago, I think this would be a perfect case to prove that big tech is damaging Americans, and of course now we can see damaging others elsewhere around the world. I don't use the airdrop that much. Maybe you do. I mean, but basically if you're somewhere and you know a friend is nearby, you could send them a message and they're going to get it. You don't have to go through the internet, Wi-Fi or anything else. You just say, hey, I'm over here. I'm be here for about 15 minutes if you're nearby. And they get it and they maybe get over there. That's how they're using it in China. But As you heard Tucker say, the government decided we're going to shut that down, and the way to do it is go direct to Apple and say, shut it off. Twitter owner Musk is now claiming that since Apple is also doing that and threatening to remove the Twitter app entirely from the App Store, he said, we're going to have to deal with them as well. Now let me take you back to 2017 when Apple CEO at the time, Tim Cook, was just almost kissing the Chinese and presenting bouquets and bouquets of flowers.
China's done an unbelievable job of lifting people out of poverty. They've done an incredible job, I mean, far beyond what any country has done. We were talking about mid-90s to today. The biggest change is the number of people that have been pulled out of poverty, by far. And we should all applaud that. And we should all feel good about it. And so there are, in the environmental leadership, today is very clear, and it aligns completely with Apple's values.
The Chinese environmental leaders,
yes,
the government.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're very fixated on doing the right things to avert climate change.
Oh, climate change. What are they doing to avert and get rid of slavery? Where does Apple stand on slavery? Since in China, the Uyghur Muslims are enslaved, as are many other people. In an October 24 press conference described as significant national security cases, the AG Merrick Garland announced several developments against Chinese Communist Party espionage on U.S. soil, but he never mentioned TikTok, which is China's best valuable spying tool used every day against American citizens. Every member of this administration tiptoes around anything that might upset the Chinese government, the Chinese communists. No, they don't want to do that. So you wonder, does Hunter Biden have something on daddy that could also be damaging to the Chinese? Just asking. Coming up, a tech expert on what all this means.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, I love that song. I do. Hey, reminding you, we are live streaming at rumble.com. Go to rumble.com right now. Enter in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you right to our page. Joining me now, tech policy expert with the Heritage Foundation, Jake Denton. Jake, welcome aboard. Yeah, we got Jake. Now you got, hear us, Jake?
Hey. How you doing?
I'm fine. I thought for a moment the Chi-Cons got into our system and shut you off. I'm just raising that. Before you joined us, I've got several things to go through with you. But before you joined us, we were talking about how suddenly the Chinese did not want the app that's being used by the Chinese, the Drop app? It's not called Drop. What is the name of it? You know it.
AirDrop.
AirDrop. Thank you very much. That's why you're the expert. I'm just a broadcaster, or so to be. AirDrop wanted, they didn't want that because that's how the Chinese protesters were communicating with each other, not using the internet or anything else, which is controlled by the government. And so, to their credit or blame, Apple pulls it from its devices. What's your thought on that?
Yeah, Apple has a very long-standing relationship with the Chinese Communist Party, and when China calls, Apple 100% of the time will answer.
I'll bet. They probably have their own people there when you get down to it.
They absolutely do. I mean, China is a critical aspect of their business, and you know they're more scared of the Chinese than they are of the United States. And so when they come and you know they say we have a problem with protesters, it just so happened that it was AirDrop, you know, a core feature of the Apple experience. Apple was quick to remove it. I mean, it took them a matter of close to probably 48 hours to remove this feature after, you know, presumptive conversations with the Chinese Communist Party.
Does that tell you that they are doing the bidding of the Chinese to stop dissent inside China?
Well, it's tough to say if you'd call it the bidding, but I think it really shows that they work in tandem with each other. You know, whether it was removing the app that the Hong Kong protesters used in 2019 or, you know, this AirDrop incident, Apple always works in favor of the Chinese Communist Party. They never take the other side.
So the other thing that's on the table today is that Musk is saying that we're going to be releasing files reference free speech suppression. He mentioned that in a tweet earlier this week, and at any moment, maybe later today, they're going to start dropping all kinds of files showing how Twitter execs, and government officials were tweeting back and forth on suppressing freedom of speech for the common citizen. This is very close to what we just described China had Apple do for them in their country.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, one of the better parts of Elon taking over Twitter is he's kind of hinting at things even before they drop. So today he actually replied to a user on Twitter and said that, you know, just straight up, Twitter has interfered in elections and we need to do more to restore the faith of the American people. Presumably, you know, this file drop is going to show just how they have interfered in elections. But, you know, it hasn't really been a secret. They've been fairly open with how they interfere. We know that they suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story and that they worked in tandem with the left to make sure that that wasn't able to damage Joe Biden's run at the presidency. And so across Silicon Valley, you know, whenever it's convenient for the left to have things disappear, big tech works and makes sure it does.
And the other part of that is that you've got this information being withheld at that time going into the election and the New York Post story being shut down, reference to Hunter Biden laptop and all of them. And then coming into this last election as well, there was a story then that this midterm that watch out for more Russian propaganda, that may be more Russian propaganda. We went through that for 2+ years at the beginning of the Trump term, and yet we're still hearing it.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Russian propaganda is the favorite scapegoat of the left and kind of these censorship teams at all these social media companies because everything can be Russian propaganda or disinformation. You know, whatever they're trying to get rid of on the platform is labeled misinformation, disinformation, and it's just a vehicle to get rid of things they don't like. And so Elon's kind of reconstruction of Twitter aims to get rid of those functions. He got rid of the censorship team, you know, the head there, and is rebuilding that component of the business. But, you know, this still exists across all of big tech. They have teams with PhDs in sociology that are just designed to harass conservatives. And they've designed new words and they come at us with all sorts of fake terms. But really what it comes down to is they just don't like us.
The other thing is that Apple's threatening to withhold Twitter from its app store to take it off. And that's the only way Apple phones can get the Twitter app. Is that correct?
That's correct. So Apple has a monopoly over the application experience for the iPhone users. They don't allow for other app stores to exist on their devices. And any app that wants to be listed on Apple's app store has to pay a 30% fee of all in-app transactions.
30%?
So when Elon rolled out that $8 a month, you know, verification in-app fee, Apple gets 30% of that $8, right? And so this is essentially a 30% tax on the internet. You know, people underscore how much the App Store controls the ebb and flow of the internet, but it's instrumental in, you know, what websites become, you know, focal points of our popular culture. And so with Apple kind of threatening Elon, we're kind of calling into question the broader monopoly on the App Store. We actually have a bill, the Open App Markets Act, that's kind of been floating around here in D.C., that aims to dislodge this, but it's been a struggle to get members to support it. But I think we're starting to see, you know, with this case study, people are ready for a change.
But isn't the struggle also based on the fact that I need that. If you take, I mean, you know, you can't take, if I speak out against them, I'll suddenly be shut down for a while.
Yeah, I think, you know, people need to kind of realize the power that Apple has over, you know, not only the internet, but these other app developers. So the reason that Apple delisted Parler back in the day, if you remember when, you know, it became an alternative to Twitter, was because Parler wouldn't implement these content moderation practices. And it's supposedly the same reason they're threatening to delist Twitter. And so really the question becomes, why should Apple be able to dictate what another website, you know, another application, how they manage their own platform? And I think the answer is they shouldn't. You know, if a company doesn't want to comply with Apple's guidelines, it shouldn't mean iPhones can't access the website. You know, they should have the opportunity to download that app on another platform.
So we have Musk paying $44 billion to take this over. And he's also claiming that if you take that Twitter from your app store, then I'm backing out of the entire deal. Where would that go at that point?
Well, it's really tough to say. I mean, these are all, you know, legal battles that could unfold any, you know, different direction. Case law is very complicated on these things. But it's essentially an unviable product if it's removed from the App Store, right? I mean, it's a completely different dynamic there. And so if Elon can't access, I mean, Apple controls essentially 50% of the global mobile phone market. If he can't access those devices, Twitter's essentially dead in the water. You can't survive that. And so he's not getting the same thing that he purchased. And this is tampering from, you know, his competitors in Silicon Valley. You know, lawmakers should be far more outraged than, you know, we're seeing right now. It's quite alarming.
Did you think when and you've been, I'm sure, a techie for some time, did you think we were going to see all this come to this point, or it would all be good things for America and citizens?
Well, I think, you know, no one could have predicted that, you know, a year or 2 years ago that Elon Musk would be the one that saves us from, you know, Twitter's censorship regime.
Yeah, you're right about that.
That was absolutely shocking. But, you know, this year, you know, year and a half in general has been quite interesting in the tech space. Lots has happened, you know, whether the American people have noticed or not. Things are changing very quickly. And it's evolving at a pace that, you know, if Congress doesn't, you know, match their speed here, is going to be very concerning for the consumer. And so as the tech sector evolves, we know it's really crucial that we have the Congress kind of match the pace legislatively.
All right, let's circle back around then this last minute on the aspect of justice, in the sense that when Musk had been posted that, are you going to release everything about the decision to censure the New York Post story? And he implied he would. He said it's necessary to restore public trust. In the last 30 seconds, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think what we'll see here is that there was likely collaboration with government partners. The Election Integrity Partnership is an entity that the Department of Homeland Security has sponsored. They work with Meta and others. But we're going to see a very damning fact pattern here that shows that, you know, Silicon Valley was working to make sure the American people weren't informed on this election cycle.
All right, Jake, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. Jake Denton, tech policy expert at Heritage. Coming up, Don Lemon Fruitcake says CNN has never been liberal. Stand by for this.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I don't think we're going to ever find direct payments from China or Russia to Joe Biden. It appears that the millions of dollars went through several of Hunter Biden's various LLCs. And then in turn, Joe Biden was receiving benefits through Hunter Biden paying for basic living expenses, repairs to his homes, and things like that. This obviously is something that the president has lied about. He lied about his knowledge of Hunter's shady business dealings. He lied about his involvement in Hunter's shady business dealings. And we believe he's lied about receiving benefits from all the influence peddling from his family over the past decade.
If you've been listening today, you've heard that bite earlier. And the reason I wanted to run it again is because the man speaking is Congressman Comer, Republican of Kentucky, who's going to head up the House Oversight Committee. And he says, we're going to be focusing on bank records and looking for money ties from any foreign entity, any suspicious money going into Hunter Biden's accounts, which in turn end up in Joe Biden's accounts or in some payment to Joe Biden. He's also admitted, I don't know we're ever going to find any direct payment to Joe Biden. I agree, that probably won't happen. But the point here is, this was an investigation, obviously a suspicious activity from the very moment the story broke, being ignored by state-controlled media and big tech, as we were talking in the previous segment. While they're all over January 6th, but they're ignoring this story, and I think right now, this time around, with the House being controlled by Republicans, we should have full inquiries into all of this. You could deliver impeachments. Of course, you have to go to the Senate for a final conviction or no conviction. But at least I'm hopeful if these Republicans that got elected hold their spine stiff and straight and make sure we start getting some answers. I'm ready for them. I know you are as well. By the way, I'd mentioned earlier about how what's happening in Iran. You know, they've had their own protests in addition to China because of the crackdown by those enforcing Sharia law that if women aren't properly covering their eyes or whatever, they'd be picked up by police and put in jail and maybe never come out. One did not come out. And it sparked numerous protests. So when the U.S. beats the Iranian soccer team in the World Cup yesterday, you would think Iran would be distressed and all upset. No. There were demonstrations in the streets of Iran last night celebrating the Iranian team being beaten, because they figure that's one way to make the Iranian government suffer. But the suffering's going to fall deeper down. One CIA agent has said that no doubt every member of the Iranian soccer team will be facing some kind of discipline. And also, these protesters in the streets again are going to be upset. And I actually think, if I remember right, several members, if not all of the Iranian members, refused to sing the Iranian national song at the World Cup. So there are going to be repercussions. Normally when you have something go wrong, you start looking for how do you get rid of somebody. If it's football team, you go with the coach, you go with the quarterback, somebody's got to go. And eventually maybe everybody has to go. Same thing with the news station. When a news anchor, numbers weren't doing well. You know what they did? They didn't really necessarily fire anyone right away. They would bring in and build a new TV set. Like, that will make you watch more because it's a new set. And when CNN and NN starts losing tons and tons of money, and they still are, and they know they've gone so far to the left that that's why they're losing, they got to make changes. That's why CNN and NN, Don Lemon Fruitcake, lost his own show named after him, put on a morning show and said, oh, it's okay. This is a good thing. It's all good. I don't mind. The show was named after him. You think he would not have some concern about losing a program named after him? Of course he would. But he's still getting a check for now. So he appeared on Stephen Colbert the other day, and Colbert brought up this issue about your new network boss, Chris Licht, apparently wants the network to appear less biased.
The word on the street is that you guys aren't allowed to be liberal anymore. Is that the case?
I don't think we ever were liberal.
What?
Yes. I don't think we ever were.
That's not me saying that. That's the people out there saying that he's not letting you be liberal anymore.
Well, I think what Chris is saying is that he wants Republicans, sensible Republicans. He wants us to hold people to account. But he wants people to come on and feel comfortable with coming on and talking on CNN.
Boy, did he walk the line there. He's talking about his boss. And he said, sensible Republicans. Who defines sensible? Not Don Lemon fruitcake. And to that extent, today a network statement came out from Chris Licht, not directed at Lemon so far, informing employees we're going to start letting an unspecified number of staffers go. It's already started, and there will be more hatchets to fall. Major layoffs. CNN is going deeper in the toilet. Breaks my heart. It does. It does. I feel for those CNN staffers who are just part of the team. They're just doing the stuff they do. But they're going to pay the price of a Don Lemon fruitcake, and the rest of the liberals have been controlling that. Thank you for listening. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.